Welcome to the Specify Growth Podcast. I'm your host, Tats Nakagawa of Castagra Products. Each week, I talk to leaders and experts about how to overcome adversity, grow massive organizations, and how to create meaningful change in the building materials and construction industry. Today's guest is Matt Aston. He's the president at GPRS. So Matt, thank you for coming on the show.
I'm really glad to do it. I appreciate the opportunity.
I love entrepreneurs on the show. I especially like entrepreneurs that are pushing technology boundaries.
We are doing that. We've got a few things we're working on that I'm excited to share today.
Absolutely. So early days, one person startup to 800 employees. How does that happen?
Well, the short answer is with a really good team, but kind of right place, right time, right service. There was a need in the market that wasn't being addressed. Growing up, my father had his own business. It was a concrete cutting and drilling business. And so I was exposed to that at a young age, and I went to college for finance, and I thought that I wanted to be working a high level finance position for a big company. And I started out as a financial analyst for a large company here in Toledo, Ohio, where I'm from. And I realized quickly that the corporate life was not for me. And so after a few years, I went to my dad and asked him about going into business with him. And he said, that'd be great. I'd love to have you come work with me. And if things go really well, maybe at some point you could even buy the company for me at some point. About a week later, he came back to me and said, hey, I really think you should do something on your own. And he gave me a magazine. And in that magazine, there was an advertisement for the company that makes ground penetrating radar. And one of the things the advertisement referenced was helping contractors find electrical embedded within or below a concrete slab before concrete gets cut or drilled through. So I saw this happen all the time as I helped on these jobs when I was in high school and college working with my dad's company. It seemed like if a trench was laid out on a floor, they were going to cut through electrical. It was just a matter of time. And I thought, okay, maybe this is something that we could turn into a business.
So for those that don't understand, you're cutting through electrical, property damage, safety issue. Like for those that don't know, what happens? Like what's the baddie there?
The minimal end of the spectrum, you lose power, you have to make repairs. There's unplanned and unforeseen downtime. Obviously, there's expense associated with the repair. On the other end of that spectrum, the more extreme, you can have severe injury. You could have major expense, depending on what power was cut through. And that was the kind of the initial value proposition of GPRS. Our real focus at the beginning of the company was to help minimize that risk within the Northwest Ohio construction industry. But as we became more familiar with the equipment, we recognized there's other applications where this could be extremely helpful. So when core drilling through a concrete slab, concrete structure, we realized, hey, we could precisely identify the placement of the reinforcing steel within the deck. So with if you had 3/4 inch diameter bars that were placed at eight inches on center, we could get to the point where we could drill a 6-inch hole in between those bars without hitting any steel at all. And so we thought, okay, rebar, post tension cables, finding voids, below concrete slabs. So, and then we got into with lower frequency antennas, we could look into the ground and help find utilities. So not just limiting this to concrete applications, but taking this underground and finding gas and electric, water, sewer communications prior to excavations as well. And while we started here in Toledo, Ohio, where we're based today, the first guy I hired was about a year after. So I started the company in September of 2001, and the first employee came on in July of 2002. And he was about 2 hours away in the Cleveland area. And he just graduated college, knew how to build websites. I did not know how to build a website at the time. So he built us a website, and I started this. It was overture.com. It was like one of the early pay-per-click campaigns. So we started doing this pay-per-click thing, and we started getting calls from all over the country.
So were you just selling someone else's technology? What was the business?
No, we bought the equipment. The manufacturer was a company in New Hampshire, Geophysical Survey Systems. And we bought their equipment. And then we...
Did you raise money? What'd you do? Like how you know?
My dad gave me a loan. He said, you better pay me back. So it took a few years to pay back the loan. Yeah, when I hired John Kessinger in 2002, he built a website. And yeah, he was in Cleveland. I was in Toledo. He was kind of serving Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and Columbus. I was serving Toledo and Detroit. But we started getting calls from all over the country. And it didn't make sense to me. We were a couple hundred thousand in revenue at the time. There's two guys in their early to mid 20s. And why are they bringing us down to Texas to do this job? Why'd they fly us out to Colorado to do this job? Well, clearly because they can't find anybody closer who can provide the service. So I was at a job in Florida. I was working at it was for Walgreens Distribution Center in Jupiter, Florida. And I was looking for a place to eat dinner one night. I'm driving down that A1A and I see crane after crane after crane with these new construction, all concrete structures. I see the post-tension cables ready to be torched off, hanging outside the end of the building. And this is what we need to do. We need to put people in big cities all throughout the United States, and we could build a scalable national business providing the service. And it took a few years to make it all happen, but we began our national expansion effort in 2006, so 5 years after the company had started. And by 2014 or 15, we had people in 54 cities, throughout the United States. And that's what we have today. We've got about 800 employees spread over 54 cities from Boston to Honolulu and Seattle to Miami, providing the service on a daily basis. We've worked on, I would say, the vast majority of all major construction projects over the last 10 or 12 years.
Yeah. So with that many offices, how does it, I'm thinking that you've sort of mastered a way of opening offices, but how were the expansion, how did it go?
So it's all about the people. If you find the right people, and I could not be there to look over their shoulder. So I did everything that they kind of say not to do in business. I hired my friends. I didn't care what their background was. I didn't care where they came from. I knew if I had the right person, I could teach them the skill. I could teach them how to provide this service at an elite level. And that worked out really well. As we've continued to grow over the last several years, I would say, so we've developed our own process. We call it SIM, Subservice Investigation Methodology. And without going into detail, that has led us into a point now where we do on average about 10,000 jobs per month now. A job could be a few hours on site, or a job could be, our longest job this year, we were on site for 10 months. We had a few guys on one site for 10 months.
Yeah. Give me a simplified version of that system that you're talking about, SIMS, or what?
It's just a process so we don't just use ground penetrating radar. We use some complementary technologies. So for example, today, we have technologies for leak detection. We have technologies for video pipe inspection, ground penetrating radar still for concrete and underground utility. And then we've also integrated it with Matterport for providing images of the areas that we've scanned. And we've purchased 3D laser scanning equipment, so LiDAR. And we can integrate all of these technologies together to give a deliverable to our customer that's really specified to whatever the request is. Some of it may be simple. Hey, I need to drill three holes to put floor drains in this floor. All I need is the steel mapped out on the surface. If there's any conduit in the way, I don't want to hit that either. No problem. We'll just mark it on the surface. But some of our clients want to take all of our findings mapped on the floor and integrate it with their BIM software. And we can do that, you know, through the use of all those technologies that I mentioned, bringing radar and LiDAR together to create a model that will they can use in Revit or whatever other package they use.
Yeah, that makes sense. You're just going deeper and be able to look at it from many different ways and angles. So I'm assuming your business revolves around collaborating with engineering departments. They would love to be able to just get a light version of the report, a comprehensive version of the report, or you started light, but the project got really heavy and you needed to know a whole bunch of things that you didn't have to go at vendor source, that you'd had all of it there to look at it. Is that kind of the playbook?
It all depends on what the problem is. That's one of the first questions when we get a call for our services. That's one of the first questions we ask is, hey, what are you trying to accomplish with this? Are you just trying to identify, you know, where the utilities are before you excavate? Or are you trying to create something that like a permanent record of our findings? And so we've added technology, we've added, you know, other parts to our business to help be able to accommodate those types of requests as well.
That makes sense. What are the other lessons you have? What are the inflection points? As you grew, what lessons did you have to learn at each phase of your business?
There's a few. My role has changed, you know, several times. I was not a natural born leader. When I hired that first employee, he was a friend of mine. And it was difficult for me to have difficult conversations, you know, with him. But at some point, I realized that by me being too timid around some of these conversations, not only am I hurting the business, but I'm doing this person a disservice as well by not being transparent with him about my thoughts. And, you know, if he's falling short of an expectation, I need to help him develop his skill and hold him accountable to meet that expectation. So I'm a big believer in the 10,000 hour rule. So yeah, if I look back at my business, I started it in 2001. I mentioned that we really started our national expansion effort in 2006. That first 5 years, first of all, I'll say I worked way more than 10,000 hours in those first 5 years. But it was really, I think those first 5 years were really just practice for what was to come. And so while the business officially launched in September of 2001, I don't think we really, I questioned every day for those first 5 years if this was going to be a long-term viable business. And we were still doing, in 2006, when we launched our expansion, we were working on the Trump Tower job in Chicago. They had to drill about 4,000 holes, pedestrian bridge that starts at Michigan Avenue and extends west over to Wabash, right behind the Wrigley Building in Chicago. And all they had to do was drill down to the supporting I-beams. They had to weld the Nelson stud in place on the beam, but they couldn't cut any of the perpendicular rebar to the I-beams. So it was a good job for us. You know, we were there for several weeks. You know, 4,000 holes had to be drilled. We had to scan for all of them. And the construction team was happy enough with the work that we did that they said, hey, look, you know, we understand you're a pretty small company. If you want to use this to promote yourself, you know, we're happy to sign off on that. So we did. And I was reading a book at the same time called The E-Myth. And I was still doing the work. 5 years in, I was still in the field every day doing jobs. And the story from The E-Myth is about the baker who's, you know, making muffins. And I was making muffins. I was just doing it in the form of, you know, scanning concrete. So I came up with a plan when I was on that job to take myself out of the field and replace myself and then focus really on growing the business. And that's when the company really started to take off, was beginning of 2007 or so. But yeah, my roles have changed several times over the last, man, I can't believe 22 years. It's been a tremendous reward. The hard work has paid off. And I think one of the big lessons that I would say, if I look back over the last, you know, 20 plus years, the message that I've been delivering to the company for probably the last 4 or 5 years is that we are so much our capability is so much higher than what we realize, than what we give ourselves credit for. And it doesn't take that much more effort. I think the world around us makes it so easy to be average. It doesn't take that much more effort to really push yourself to be elite.
Yeah. Well, with that mindset, what are some habits that you have personally that fall in that sort of mindset?
So is it just focus and discipline? I let myself get out of shape years ago when I came out of the field. Yeah, I gained a lot. I still ate like I was working in the field every day, but I wasn't getting in my steps. I've changed in the last 8 or 9 years. I've worked out 6 days a week. I start every day, with that. It helps me to be focused by the time I get into work. Another habit that I started probably 10 years ago, I shut the radio off on the way to work and spend that time in prayer. But before I get to the office, that's just the way I have that quiet time. I don't know exactly what's going to happen when I'm at the office. I don't know what's going to happen when I get home at the end of the day, but I know I've got that time, that quiet time with just myself. So I thought, that'd be the best way to use this, is to just spend that time in prayer in the morning.
Great. And what sort of stuff, in the future you see, how is all the stuff you're doing going to progress?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. The most important initiative, I would say that we're about ready to launch the most important initiative in the history of our company. It's called Sitemap. And a simple way to think of it is, think of a Google Maps for underground infrastructure. So if I look at a lot of the facilities that we work at repeatedly, hospitals, universities, manufacturing facilities, entertainment venues, they seem to have one thing in common. None have a very good record of what their underground infrastructure really looks like. They have what they call as-builts. But somehow we have found that the as-builts are never as it was really built. Things change over the course of construction. Not everything gets documented. So what we're doing, we're working with these facilities now where we record all of our data that's on site, and we're building a permanent record of our findings that if they subscribe to the Sitemap software, they can go in at any point in time and see everything that we've ever marked on their campus. They can see all of the utilities that we've found. They can see depths. They can see changes. They can see dates. They can see who was responsible for collecting that portion of their property. And we think this is going to really change the way our services are viewed, the way our services are bought. We can ultimately, our plan is to integrate augmented reality with this service, where one of these facilities could pull up the GPRS app and hover their phone or hover their iPad over the ground and look to see, there's a gas line right there and it's 32 inches deep and it was marked November 1st by GPRS, and that's in the near future. That's the big change that we are working towards right now.
I love it. Is there anything else that I didn't ask yet, but you wanted to share?
I talked about the team. I think I'll say almost with any business, when things go well, the CEO gets too much credit. And when things go poorly, the CEO gets too much blame. But I have been extremely fortunate with the team that we've been able to build. As we've grown this from a one-person company to nearly 800 people today, I get a lot of the credit for it. But there is a team that has been in place around me for a long time that they've worked just as hard as I have. And I have been extremely blessed to be able to keep the core of that team intact for really the last, I would say most of them in that 10 to 15 year range. It's been incredible.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for sharing your story. I love what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I really enjoyed speaking with you today.
Thank you for listening to the Specify Growth Podcast today. Make sure you check out youtube.com/TatsTalks for video of today's podcast. Hit the subscribe button for upcoming episodes.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.